Someday soon, my Savior will call out my name.
Welcome to Believing the Bible with Pastor Scott Mitchell of Grace Family Bible Church. Believing the Bible is a program devoted to rightly dividing the word of truth. We hope you will read along in your Bible with Brother Scott, or write down the scripture verses to study later. May you prayerfully and carefully consider the Word of God as we study together. And now, here's Brother Scott.
I thank you for joining me today. Did you know that if you are a saved child of God, you are a soldier? Paul writes to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." If you're saved today, you've been chosen by God to be a soldier of Jesus Christ. And as a soldier, we're going to need some equipment to get the job done and to protect ourselves. And it's called the armor of God. You'll notice that in speaking to Timothy as a soldier, he wanted him to commit the truth to faithful men. So our battle has to do with the Word of God. In Ephesians chapter 6, Paul writes in verse 10, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." It's not our might. It's the power of God's might in which we do battle. He says in verse 11, "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." We put on the whole armor of God because we wrestle against the devil and his wiles. The word wiles is like tricks, cunning, crafty devices that he has devised. If you're lost, you belong to Satan. He knows that you're his, and his only issue is to prevent you from knowing the truth. Since we saw last week that God will have all men be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth, then the devil's job is to keep you from being saved and coming to know the truth. But if you're already saved and have the knowledge of the truth, the devil spends his time attacking you. You're the threat. You're the armed enemy if you're a saved individual armed with the knowledge of the truth. The devil's going to attack you with all his wiles to destroy your faith if he could, to render you incapable of being a soldier. You see, he's trying to neutralize the enemy. If he can take you out of the battle, he no longer has to consider you a threat. Why then do we daily go about this war not prepared, not armed with the armor of God? You see, it says in verse 12, "We wrestle not against flesh and blood. Man is not your enemy." It says, "But against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." That term high places is fascinating. It's first used in your Bible in Leviticus chapter 22. It's referring to Israel walking contrary to God's ways. And he says in Leviticus 22 verse 30, "And I will destroy your high places and cut down your images and cast your carcasses upon the carcasses of your idols, and my soul shall abhor you. And I will make your cities waste and bring your sanctuaries unto desolation, and I will not smell the savor of your sweet odors. And I will bring the land into desolation, and your enemies which dwell therein shall be astonished at it. Israel defying the Lord resulted in him destroying them, and they had set up high places where their idols and images were. High places are a reference to religious iniquity, religious unrighteousness, governmental unrighteousness. All of these things pertain to Satan. Remember where old Satan came from in the first place? He's the anointed cherub known as Lucifer. In Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12, we read these words, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High." The Most High there is a reference to God Almighty. Lucifer, the devil, wants to be God. He wants to be worshipped as God. He desires the worship and adoration of men. So much so that he wanted the worship of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. In Luke chapter 4, we read these words. Verse 1, "And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil." Now that's the temptation of Jesus Christ, and it results in this temptation from the devil. Verse 5 says, "And the devil, taking him up into an high mountain," like high places, "showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time." The devil showed him all the kingdoms of the world. That would be every government, every nation, in the moment of time that he displayed it to Jesus Christ. Verse 6, "And the devil said unto him, All this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it." Do you realize that the devil has been given all the kingdoms of the world and the power and the glory thereof? That means every nation under heaven right now is in the control of Satan. And they're lofty and they are in high places. Religion, those kingdoms, those glories are lofty and in high places. Lucifer offered these things to Jesus Christ and said in verse 7, "If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." High places where spiritual wickedness dwells. It's in religion. It's in government. It's in anything that is highly esteemed among men, which is an abomination in the sight of God. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 3 says, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world," that's a little g, "the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." Satan is the God of this world. He owns the world right now. He runs it. He controls it from high places. Ephesians chapter 2 refers to those who were lost in time past and says, verse 1, "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." That prince is Satan. That spirit is his spirit of iniquity. He runs the course of this world because he's the God of this world, and we wrestle against him. We wrestle against Satan and his angels. According to the scriptures, when Lucifer was cast out of heaven, his tail, he's the serpent, the dragon, His tail drew a third of the stars with him, Revelation 12. A third of the angels joined Satan in his rebellion against God, and they became his ministers. They became his princes. You can read in the book of Daniel how that the prince of Persia and the prince of Grecia came to war against Michael, the prince of Israel. Michael is the archangel. These were not men who warred against Michael. Men wouldn't stand a chance against an angel of God. But another angel? That's a different story. The prince of Persia and the prince of Grecia were fallen angels under the direction of the God of this world, and they sought to war against God's anointed. Well, if we are warring against spiritual wickedness, against principalities and powers, the rulers of the darkness of this world, how on earth do you expect to withstand such a power and such a might? Don't think you can outsmart Satan or not fall for his wiles and tricks. According to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 28, he was created the sum of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You couldn't outsmart him if you were the smartest man on earth. He's been dealing with mankind for 6,000 years. Don't you think he knows every device? And besides all that, you wouldn't know you weren't dealing with Satan if he appeared to you as an angel. Notice 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Paul writes in chapter 11, verse 3, "But I fear, lest by any means as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety," that is, his crafty, underhanded tricks, "so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit which ye have not received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him." And Paul is indicating, I fear you might bear with this individual who would corrupt the simplicity of Christ, who would preach another Jesus, another spirit, another gospel, and these would be false gospels, false spirit, a phony Jesus. Who are such individuals? Look in verse 13. "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." Satan is transformed into an angel of light, and most of the world, if they saw him, would think it was God. Most of the world is going to fall for the Antichrist when he comes, because he's going to appear as God and show himself to be God. They will believe that lie, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. Even today, Lucifer is transformed as an angel of light. He appears as that which looks good and pure and right and religious. His ministers are spirits, devils, that possess the bodies of individuals who teach and preach another Jesus, another gospel, by another spirit. Oh, they look good and handsome and beautiful, and they wear lamé dresses, and they wear fine suits, and they wear Rolex watches, and they drive around in Cadillacs and Rolls Royces, and they fly Lear jets, and they have TV programs where they flash their wealth and their opulence, and they say, "God blessed me. God's blessing me with material riches," and they appear as an angel of light. They appear as the ministers of righteousness, but they are in fact ministers of the God of this world, and as they stand in their high places, they're preaching against the truth. When's the last time you heard a TV preacher preach the gospel of Christ? So we stand in a battle. The man of God is a soldier. He's a soldier that wrestles against principalities and powers. And if he's not prepared and fit with the armor of God, he will not be able to withstand.
Calvary's war is won, but the battlefield is raging.
As we listen to this song, I want you to think about the struggle that goes within every man who will stand for the truth. And when we finish the song, we'll talk about putting on the whole armor of God.
Take the-
passion, fortify my heart with truth. I'll be on my knees to make that stand. The power of the blessed gospel and the mighty shield of faith.
Ephesians 6 verse 13 says, "Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." We need the armor simply to stand. Verse 14, "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth." The loins are that area of the body where your center of gravity is. If we do not have a centered stance for the battle, we will be knocked over easily. It's fascinating to me that what we clothe our center of gravity with is truth. We've got as our center, as our focus, the truth. And what is the truth? 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15 says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Truth is the word of God. The truth is the words that Jesus Christ gave you. And in particular, it's the gospel. In Ephesians chapter 1, Paul writes in verse 12, "That we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation." The word of truth is the gospel of your salvation in verse 13. Without that as a foundation upon which to stand, we cannot stand. The gospel of Christ is the truth where we are centered. We must have the foundation which no other man can lay than that which is laid, Jesus Christ and Him crucified. We girt our loins about with truth, the gospel of Christ. Back in chapter 6, verse 14, the next part of the armor says, "And having on the breastplate of righteousness." I thank God that the righteousness there is a breastplate, because the breastplate is associated with covering the chest, and the chest is our source of pride. Well, this armor covers our chest. The righteousness covers our pride, and that righteousness is the righteousness of God. Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 3, verse 8, "Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss, for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith." The breastplate of righteousness is God's righteousness, not yours. Our own righteousness is as filthy rags, Paul said. Romans chapter 3, verse 21 writes, "But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there's no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." The righteousness of God is ours by faith of Jesus Christ. It covers our own righteousness because we have no righteousness. It covers our pride because it's the breastplate of righteousness. And I thank God for that. Are you going about to establish your own righteousness? Or have you submitted yourself unto the righteousness of God? If you're lost, you don't even have any righteousness. You need to trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior in order that you might gain God's righteousness. Then the third piece of the armor, back in Ephesians chapter 6, is in verse 15. "And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace." It's amazing to me that he put this piece of armor on the feet. Shod is an old English word for being shoed, having shoes put on your feet. It says the feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We've already seen that the truth is the gospel of Christ, where our loins are girt about. But feet being shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace means feet that are ready to go, to walk, to go forth and preach the truth. Romans chapter 10, verse 13 states, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." If you're a whosoever, you can be saved. Verse 14, "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." You know why their feet are beautiful? Because they are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. They took the time to study, to pray, and prepare to go about sharing the gospel of Christ. How much time are you spending preparing to preach the gospel of peace? Then back in Ephesians chapter 6, in verse 16, he says, "Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked." And as we saw in the verse earlier, it's the faith of Christ. By the faith of Christ, we'll be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked. Our faith grows by the word of God. It's the faith of Christ that justifies us. Like the song says, a shield won't do much good if it's hanging by your side. You've got to keep the shield of faith before you if you want to stay alive. We need to keep that faith strengthened through fellowship, through prayer, through studying the Word of God, rightly divided. Fellowship is so important to strengthen our faith so that we can withstand the fiery darts of the wicked. And the fellowship strengthens our faith because it teaches us that it's the faith of Christ that holds us together, that justifies us. Verse 17 says, "And take the helmet of salvation." The helmet is what you place on your head. Your salvation is something that you have a knowledge of. It's a knowledge that you have, like Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 1. He says in verse 12, "For the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day." Paul knows his Savior. He knew his Redeemer. Paul believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and committed unto him his salvation. The helmet of salvation protects our head because our head contains the knowledge of our Savior. Back in Ephesians 6, verse 17, the only offensive weapon in all the armor, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The Word of God is that weapon that we have wherewith to do this battle. There is no other weapon. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. If you do not know and believe that the Bible you hold in your hand is the perfect Word of God, may I suggest you get one? That Bible that you can know and count on and believe in and absolutely be assured that it is the perfect, infallible Word of God is a 1611 King James Bible. And Lord willing, next week, I'd like to go into some things about that with you. But the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. We don't charge hell with a water bucket. We're not chasing the devil out of the pews. We're simply preaching the cross and using the Word of God to demonstrate it. Now, if you know anything about first century armor, as Paul would have been alluding to in this passage, you know that he's describing something like the Roman centurion would have worn. And in all the pieces of armor he's described, there's one that the Roman soldier wore that is not present. The knee is a very vulnerable area of the body, and it needs to be protected. And the Roman soldier wore shin guards of some type to protect that area. It's conspicuously absent from the list of the armor. And now we know why in verse 18. It says, praying always, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. This soldier doesn't need a shin guard. He's on his knees. He's on his knees in prayer, totally trusting and counting on the Lord. How often do we pray that God would open for you a door of utterance to speak the mystery of the truth? Do you even know what the mystery is? I pray God would open your eyes to see the mystery of the gospel of Christ. And I pray that we'll get in prayer and prepare ourselves for this battle because we are called to be soldiers of the cross. Thank you for listening today. You've been listening to Believing the Bible. I'm Brother Scott Mitchell with Grace Family Bible Church. I'd love to hear your thoughts about the program, whether you agree or disagree. You can write me at Scott Mitchell, 17 Cherry Hill, Seguin, Texas, 78155. If you would like more information, you can call me at 305-0119. May the Lord Jesus Christ open your eyes, and may the grace of God be with you all.